Welcome back to another episode of the Whiskey Sticks podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mike, and with me is Thomas and Josh. And we've been out for a little bit, but the world gets crazy. We get busy, but we'll start out strong, just like always. Josh, what are you drinking on?
Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special bottle here brought to us by Thomas for Mike's birthday. It's called Trail's End 10-year Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey finished in Oregon Oak Cast. So, really good bottle. Definitely worth the $75 after tax that you will be paying for this. Very nice. It has a nice blend of baking rye and oak spices, dark caramel syrup, dry rye bread, if you will. It tastes of syrup with a little bit of chocolate, a little dark chocolate there at the end.
A little cacao.
A little cacao, if you will. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I like that. The finish, very oaky, very dark. Overall, great bourbon. I like it. That's not what I tasted. I tasted just like bourbon. But oh, it is a good bourbon, though. It is a good bourbon.
You took that a sip? Is bourbon.
That
yes.
is just what the review said.
So, to ruin the surprise, we are all drinking the same bottle because I did come down to Texas for my birthday. Met Josh down here. He came from New Mexico. And obviously, Thomas lives here. So, we are all recording out of the T-Max Third Coast Tom studio. It's really exciting. I'm glad to be here. You know, the trip in was really nice. I was treated well to drinks and food or libations, if you will. So without further ado, Thomas, where's my T-Mex tie-in?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As always, I'm your guy for all things Houston sports. Right now, it's a really good time to be a Houston sports fan. Right now, we're talking about Kevin Durant as a Houston Rocket. Since the last time we spoke, it's official. Houston has upped their game. They're really trying to championship or bust it. Really, really like what they're doing right now. They were able to extend Jabari Smith Jr., who I think is a big part of their future. Definitely a piece of their core, that their young core that they just writ and drafted over the last few years, along with Alperen Şengün, Tari Eason, and Reed Shepard. So big things happening for the Rockets. Kevin Durant's going to wear number 7, which I think is pretty dope. As far as like baseball, the Houston Astros are inevitable. It just came off of a 3-game sweep of the LA Dodgers in LA. Unfortunately, they came home, kind of blew their load in LA because now they've lost 2 games to the Guardians of Cleveland. But team's really strong, really feel like they are doing a really good job of holding a 6.5-game lead over the division and one of the best records in baseball. I think as currently standings, they're the 3rd-best team in all of baseball. And, you know, for a team that's got so many injuries, the most injuries in all of MLB, it's pretty awesome. The Texans, I think they're gearing up, you know, for their season. You're seeing C.J. Stroud. You're seeing some of these guys start to be more vocal about the upcoming season. Really excited there. The Dynamo went to San Diego the same time the Astros were in L.A. and got a dub over there over a top-seeded San Diego team. So the Dynamo are doing pretty well, and it's just a really good time to be a Houston sports fan. And I will turn it back over to Mike.
So I will say with the Astros beating the pants off of the Dodgers, I would much rather see the Dodgers sweep than worry about what we do with the Guardians. However, we did battle tonight with a beat-up roster. No easy games come through Houston, and that I can hang my hat on, right? Like, you're not going to dog walk us like 18-1 or something. That won't happen. Not it. Name that field. I feel like they just changed the name.
Daikin Park.
It used to be the Juice Box, not the Ice Box. I don't know. I feel like in Houston, we change the name of stadiums every couple of years just to keep things light. You know,
we nice don't want to.
Yeah, there's not going to be no Wrigley Field for 100 years. It's going to be whatever we name the park, highest bidder. Who's buying us a new jacuzzi? But, yo, absolutely. And the USA-Mexico game, that was awesome. That was electric just to be at that. That was, what, Sunday?
I didn't want to talk about it because I was sporting the Stars and Stripes, and they lost. However, Mike is 100% right. 71,000 people were in NRG Stadium, along with me, Mike, our brother-in-law, Junior, and our sister, Tanya, watching an amazing game. Nephew Luis, also in attendance.
In the nosebleeds.
But in the nosebleeds. Yep. He didn't want to be cool and sit with us. It's okay. We understand. It was a great time. Only wore a little bit of beer after all the celebrations. I mean, unbelievable venue. I've never heard NRG that loud when Raul Jimenez scored the first goal for Mexico. And it was just a great game. I mean, obviously there was a handball that was missed that, you know, nobody wants to talk about because it was a heavy favored Mexican crowd. But I think the USA looked good for what they brought. They did not bring their A team. And definitely looking forward to the next big time soccer event in Houston, which could be the World Cup.
Yeah, no, they definitely, Mexico brought the house. They even brought Memo Ochoa out there. They owned possession somewhere to like 72 to 75% of the game had possession. And again, it was a huge sellout. It was awesome. Like the game was good pace. It didn't slow down ever. Like they were going at each other's necks the entire time. Like every ball was in attack very rarely. I think we only olé'd one good time with Mexico early in the second half. The handball is debatable, but not with the refs. You know, they call it like they see it. They all got medals at the end of the game. I don't know if that was a part of the plan, right? Like, hey, you know, we should do that for the Chiefs and the refs at the end of the NFL season. Like, also reward the refs. Like, you played well. Way to play your part. So, Joshua just came back from New Mexico, where they saw some of the only rain they're ever going to see in the next 10 years. So, you want to tell us a little bit about your time in New Mexico?
Yeah, it was kind of wild out there, New Mexico. Not known to get, you know, so much rain out there, but, you know, let it be the days that we are out there working, that it is the days that we are catching rain and
working.
Working. We're looking at the ground.
Drinking lunch.
Yeah, well, on our time off, you know, every now and then, every chance we get, because it's New Mexico. But yeah, raining out there, we got caught pretty bad. And as maybe some of y'all may know, New Mexico does not have the best sewer system out there. So rain is everywhere. It gets flooded very quickly. But in our time off, we were able to regroup, get all of our stuff together, and just kind of make a plan out to try to get out of there as quick as we can. Was it fun? No. Did we make it fun? Yes. Nonetheless, I am very happy, though, to be back, being able to hang out with the family, with friends. So definitely excited to get some relaxation. Very, very much needed, 100%. And then until the next time we go out. And I guess the people will be guys wondering out there for oil.
There you go. He's hunting down oil. There's gold in them hills. But yeah, no, we're super glad to have Josh back. He's just in time for me to force him to drive all the way back to Kansas here shortly.
Yeah, for particular reasons. All right.
When we wrap up this trip, because I definitely drove up here on my own, so he's got to drive back on his own. I think that's only right. Mm-hmm. So moving forward, onward and upward, today's topic, of which we've not really mentioned, is going to be hobbies, leisure activities, downtime stuff, like things that we do when you're not at work, when you're not at the gym, just how do we, you know, explore life as human beings. I have very few hobbies, so I figured this would be, you know, educational for me. Like, maybe I could pick up some hobbies. Thomas is the hobby master. He does more on his off time than any of the three of us. So, you know, we'll kind of look into what a hobby is, and we'll kind of discuss what we individually kind of do as hobbies. And we can also discuss that if what you do is actually a hobby or not. So, the website Classic Pop defines a hobby as something you engage in on a regular basis, more than once or twice a week. You do it in your free time and you enjoy doing it. When you find something you enjoy doing, you'll quickly find yourself doing it for fun in your free time, likely without even having to think about it. And before you know it, you'll have picked up a new hobby. Congratulations. There are all kinds of hobbies out there, but some of the most rewarding are creative hobbies. Now, what is a creative hobby? is any leisure activity that requires you to think or express your ideas, experience, or emotions in a unique, engaging, or creative way. This could include traditionally creative interests. If you're wondering, what are creative interests, like I am, which are activities that involve imagination, self-expression, and the creation of something new or original. They include things like art or music or even playing chess, designing a virtual world, or woodworking. Creative interests become creative hobbies when your practice becomes habitual. Now, do you guys think you have any creative hobbies?
Creative? No.
Okay, good. Fair. That's a fair answer. Yeah. Thomas, do you have any creative hobbies?
Absolutely not. That was a terrible question. Mm. I mean, it's interesting, right? I initially bought this pretty decent 3D printer behind me for the boys. Now I feel like occasionally it's more for me than it is for them. Although I haven't really got back to it since I moved to the new spot. It's definitely something that I want to get to where I set it back up and get to start creating some stuff. A lot of it, you know, you go and you hunt down blueprints that somebody's already designed, and then you kind of put it into action in your place, whether it be, you know, something like to hang on the wall, or, you know, something that's going to help decorate your space or something like that. But I definitely think that the whole 3D printing as a whole is pretty cool. Felix, my oldest, has really gotten really good about designing on Tinkercad, which, you know, I'm going to have to pick his brain and really kind of learn, you know, what he's got going on, because he's always, you know, making these blueprints. We haven't printed any of them, but, you know, I see him do that. His little brother, Gabe, he's constantly getting at that too, trying to figure out what to do. So I really think that's something that's creative. As far as like hobbies that I'm into, it's not necessarily creating stuff. I think all of us consider ourselves gamers as a hobby. I mean, it's really hard to not be on there.
Well, we're definitely a step below professional gamers because we don't win a whole lot. But, you know,
we
when you show up for free.
I was about to say, Mike doesn't win. The rest of us win.
I don't know. Unless you guys are getting paid, I assume it's a hobby.
Yeah,
is that better?
Yeah.
Winning, not getting paid, same thing. Yes, we're all hobby gamers. And actually, fun fact, a creative hobby of mine and the one I will lay claim to is this podcast, because I kind of try to drive it, come up with ideas that are different, something we can talk about that shows a little bit of our flair on topics that you may or may not have already heard of, but something that might interest you. So that's kind of my creative hobby. I wouldn't think playing sports, like I'm on a softball team, co-ed, by the way, for work. And I don't think that's very creative because I stood in the outfield for a half hour. That doesn't make me creative. I think that's a fun, active hobby. You know, like active hobby should be a category in here somewhere. But creative hobbies could be like cooking, you know, trying new things, getting new recipes, right? Like exploring that, like, yeah, no matter what your culinary skill level, there are always new ingredients and cuisines to explore. And you could maybe find something new or something that you should never try again. And that's the beauty of cooking, right? Like, this went so bad.
And I have to agree with that one because, like, me, I love cooking. That's definitely a hobby for me. Like, before everything got so hectic, I would always cook for Mike and myself there at
the house. I'm going to let you know a little secret.
Yes, sir.
Mike says you should love it a little less.
There's a story. It's when you try to meal prep 2 pounds of ground beef and you're like, this is the play. Don't turn around in your chair. No,
I told you we were bulking during that.
Yeah,
time.
Bulking. He hit me with 2 pounds of ground meat. I had to try and hit it with some ketchup or something. It was hard to put
it
down.
It was so hard to eat 2 pounds of ground. I'm not gonna lie, yeah. But I muscled through it because I'm trying to bulk.
Bro, prison food. That's what you gave me. You sent me to work with prison food.
But, like, yes, like, I do agree. It's fun being able to, try new recipes, right? Or, you know, give it your own flair. Like, oh, you know, some of this seasoning, some of that, you know, and whatnot. And, yes, with the ground beef, I made it as simple as possible. Because at the end of the day, it's nourishment. That's all I care
nourishment.
About.
Nourishment.
Wow.
Yeah. It was literally, like, as basic as you could get.
You overnourished him with that one.
CPS would have taken me away if they saw that,
like,
meal.
So for that, like, all I did was just 2 pounds of ground meat.
I'm aware.
A veggie mix and seasoning, and that is it. Nothing else. That is as simple as I could possibly get, because I'm like, okay, I got my protein, I got my veggies and vitamins. that's all I need. Like, and I understand, like, you know, yeah, couldn't been like the most pleasant stuff, but I've made great things for you. Lamb chops, filet mignon, sirloins, steaks, shrimp. Like, I fed this man very well. And he doesn't appreciate it.
For those that don't get to see this because it's an audio-only podcast, there's definitely the side eye in both directions, you know, which I mean, I can't describe it well enough, but just so you know that there's definitely a little tension.
He honeypotted me. He gave me a lamb chop. He hit me with the filet steaks. And then he was like, you know what? You've disappointed me enough. Here's ground beef. Enjoy it.
I needed the protein. What do you want from me? You think it was easy for me to eat it? You think the 3 pounds of chicken were easy as well?
No, they weren't. No, they were not. No, but pounds still, of meat. No vegetables. I don't even like vegetables. And I would have killed for a vegetable. Throw a bell pepper in there. I don't care.
Oh, you're talking about that? Yeah, that was just pure ground
beef. Pure ground beef, yeah, bro. Right. You fed me Alpo. Is what you fed me.
Ladies and gentlemen, if cooking is your hobby, know that there is a judgment behind it, and you will be judged accordingly. It
must be nice. Well, my hobby's gone. back to you.
Moving onward and upward, another creative hobby, an expressive hobby, could be dancing, you know? Dancing is a wonderful creative hobby for expressing your feeling and emotions through movement. Plus, there's so many different styles to explore, from contemporary and bachata to hip-hop, salsa, jazz, tap, and swing. Now, I'm going to go off script there, and I'm going to tell you right now, like, a man that can dance will always be impressive out in public. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you're young and you listen to this podcast, and you're like, how do I impress women without being weird? You might be asking. A man that can cut a rug, like, you know, put somebody in your arms. They feel safe. You're leading. You understand the dance. Line dancing. That's fun to go out and drink and do line dances.
So I will agree. Like, yes, it is fun. As so me and myself, not the best dancer out there, but I can throw it back.
No, you cannot. You cannot. I've seen you throw it back. It's gross.
It's
you look
good.
Like Tina from Bob's Burgers. That's who you look like.
I thought that was the standard.
No, that's.
I mean, that is quite the meme.
That's wrong.
I'm saying.
Yeah, you do
it's
it.
It's pretty good.
It gets you a giggle, but it doesn't get you a phone.
Not bad.
Just saying.
To be fair, Mike is the self-proclaimed Kinte King of like the 2000s. So it's really hard to meet his standards when it comes to dancing. And he's really struggling with this fame that he now has.
In another life, I was paid to dance. By adult men. They paid me to dance. Wait, no, that sounds wrong. Wait, no, the fathers would often, you know,
wow.
They would approach me.
The father, did they bless you afterwards?
No,
well?
Not like a religious father, like right. The father of the quinceañero, whatever.
Sure.
So for the uninitiated, quinceañera is a 15-year-old birthday party in the Hispanic culture, a coming of age. And as time went on and we got in this new age, back in the early 2000s, dancing was really big. So like, they would have like friends from school, girls' boyfriends and their friends come out and dance. And if that was disappointing, they would hire us, this elite squad of Mexicans, me, Alex, and all the other bros. And we would come out there and dance like with confidence, with swagger, with style. All they had to do was pay us a little bit of money, feed us, maybe slip us some underage alcohol. I'm not telling nobody names, but like we had our reasons, they had their reasons. But we did it for years and it was awesome. It was fun.
They were called the Quince Commandos.
We were not. We didn't even have like a name. But if we did, it would be like, you know, Fuego Force or something. So I will say, fun fact, mid quinceañera, I'm like in the back, like prepping, getting myself ready. Cause I do like a backflip in this, you know, section, right? Like it's kind of like, you know, assisted propel, like the dude grabs your feet and like throws you and you backflip. I was like trying to backflip myself because I feel like that's the first step. I definitely ate shit like in the grass out behind the quinceañera. Like I flipped and just face right into the grass.
Is it like mid-flip Fuego Force.
Yeah. You got to almost like feel the rhythm, feel the run.
Feel know? The fire inside.
Feel the fire. Yes. Fire saga. Yeah, no. So, yes, that was a part of my life. It's gone. I no longer dance. Not for free anyways, I'll tell you that. And men don't approach you when you're 35. They just don't. Wow. Apparently, I'm past my expiration date. Oh, geez. So to the next great activity here, right? Gardening is something that people do as a hobby, not just for survival anymore. It's more of like I plant, you know, whatever. But gardening is a great creative hobby because it helps you feel more connected to the natural world. From designing the layout of your flower beds, which sounds actually pretty cool, to herbs, rocks, and boxes to meticulously taking care of your plant babies. This activity has attention to detail, caring for living things, exploring nature without your phone, and a host of rewards if you get it right. To get started, join a plant subscription service and they'll send the stuff out to you and receive new plants and grow kits every month. Now, what I will say is like relationship advice, right? Like they say before you can get a pet, you got to get a plant. And if you can keep a plant alive for a year, you're good for a pet. And if you can keep a pet alive for a year, you're good to go get a girlfriend now, right? Now that you know how to nurture life.
How are your plants doing?
They're dead. They're all dead. They're all dead. I do not have a green thumb. I actually have no thumbs. I am a wild animal when it comes to cooking, when it comes to plant caregiving. I don't know. They said this one was really like rigid or whatever. Or like,
are you the one that killed the cactus? Because like literally they need the least amount of anything possible. Like water like once every month and a half.
You just have to look at it every now and then.
No. Here's the thing. You just have to spit on it. Like right. You're doing great. No. Is a succulent technically a cactus?
Exactly right.
Yeah, no, I killed that. Yeah, 100%. Actually, I think fungus got to it, dude. It was going through some shit. I'm saying it's like it was not a good time for the succulent. It sucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like it did not. I thought one was coming back to life and I put it on the porch and started watering it, getting some sunlight. It's still kind of dead and out there, just a little decrepit. So, I don't have a green thumb. I don't know if Thomas has a green thumb or if Josh has a green thumb. Like, have you ever planted plants, Josh?
Yes.
Did they live?
Yes.
Was it because your parents watched them?
No.
When did you plant plants?
My grandma's house.
Your grandma's house? She probably watched them. You just helped. You were a helper.
Exactly. Yeah, but you asked
you don't have your own garden.
Kept taking care of him.
You don't have your own garden.
So, to steal the thunder, I did for a while attempt to keep a hydrangea alive.
Hydrangea.
Yeah. If you've never seen it,
it's a
flower. Depending on the type of soil you give it, will change the color of the plant.
What?
Which is kind of dope.
That is
I know, right? Right?
So, mutations. I'm familiar.
So, yeah. I can't take all the credit. You know, there was people that put me in the path, but you know, definitely not a skilled green thumb person. Definitely want to at some point, you know, focus on a little square and be like, yo, I'm going to do this and it's going to color this way. Or
like a small crop plot?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, flower bed here or there or something like that.
Small, large ones here.
I think it's one of those things like trial and error, you know, like you can't be upset if, you know, round one doesn't go your way. You know, there's people that make a living making, you know, crops and stuff like that. They don't always, you know, hit every time. So for me, I'm going to be patient, but I am going to get into the flower game at some points.
See, I have to agree with you there. One of the things that I have been wanting to get to is bonsai trees. And those...
With, like, the little scissors?
Yes. Yeah.
Watching all the Karate Kid.
Yeah, because, like, essentially, it's a mini tree, which I love.
It is.
Yeah. And like,
it's like a mini poodle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that, but a tree. but, like, and I like the fact that there's so many different... bonsai tree types.
So I do have a loophole. Do you have more bonsai?
Yeah. So the thing that I like is like, there's bonsai trees that look like just like an actual tree. There's bonsai trees that look like a whole forest of trees. And I like the fact that like these people, they put them together and like you can make literally a little
like a bonsai forest.
Yeah, a bonsai forest. I love it. And I think that's really cool. They do take a lot of care to do. But I mean, like, why not? If it's something that you love, why not go for it?
So I do have a loophole. where I cannot keep a plant alive in real life, in games like Stardew Valley and or Ark Survival Evolved, I am a great gardener. The rules are simple. You put the crop plot, add fertilizer, put seed, and in an hour, you have plant.
He's an absolute liar. I was there. I saw it all. The dude is an absolute 100% killer hunter gatherer. Never at the crib gardening. As a dude that, you know, kind of had to watch over the flock back in the day, I was that guy.
To be fair, I was feeding the Fia Mia with stimulants and they were giving me fertilizer. I would put that in the compost bin, turn it into fertilizer. I've done the gardening bit. You need advanced crops. That's important.
To be fair. It was automated.
No, you set the garden down, it was automated. No, it's automated on custom servers, not on official, and I've got the most official time out of all of us.
Oh, okay.
So, I definitely tended to the garden or two. I've also bred animals. I know how to go get meat. I can grill it for you in the game, not in real life. Don't ask me to cook. You'll probably get sick. But, like, how rare do you want it? I don't know. It's still alive. Is that good? Like, I'm not a cooker, cookist, whatever you call chef.
Thank you.
Whatever, dude. No chef, Boyardee. Yeah, so I have gardened in video games. I'm also a pretty good fisherman, if I do say so myself. But, yeah, no, life skills, awful. Video game skills, top tier. Like, I've spent many an hour on Ark Survival Evolved, which has been on my mind lately, but I refuse to play it again. It's not the same game it used to be.
Cooking skills?
Cooking skills, zero. 0 out of 10. I can cook to survive. You won't like it, though.
The ground beef was bad.
I could make that. And I am awful.
You're judging me.
I could have browned some ground meat, and I cannot cook. So what does that tell you?
You're not getting steaks anymore.
You're not getting any more ground beef. All right. So moving onward, an actual hobby that I think can only be classified as a hobby because people don't really make money off of this anymore would be pottery classes and things of the clay. One of the most engaging creative hobbies is pottery, especially for those who like working with their hands. I know we've all seen the TikTok videos. Men who spend lots of time in their workshop making and fixing things may find pottery to be a more natural medium for artistic expression. Pottery workshops are also a great opportunity to connect with others and expand your social circle. You'd be amazed at how many creative people join a class, pick up these creative hobbies in your area. Just join a class to see for yourself. Check out all the pottery classes near you by clicking this link. But I'm not going to because I don't want to know because I'm not really into pottery. The only time I've ever thought about doing pottery is like as like a date night thing.
Like after seeing Dirty Dancing?
No, but I get Ghost. You're thinking Ghost.
No, I'm thinking Dirty Dancing.
You're thinking Ghost.
Wrong, Patrick Swayze. Yeah, with Whoopi Goldberg?
That was before your time. I don't even know. Wow, how did it go again? No,
definitely not. Don't, you're lucky there's no video here, but it was definitely the double hand twist. I feel like that's how you get the
with
most
salt grinder.
Yeah.
You're right, I am thinking Ghost.
Fresh Ground Pepper, I'm telling you. Yeah, Patrick Swayze, and like he's there, but he's not there. But I feel like pottery is a great day-night option, but I don't know that I would ever try to make things. Because I don't know if you guys took art class in like high school and like you did like the little ashtray because it was the easiest thing to do and your parents smoked. It's just kind of what you did. Other people made like cups and stuff like that. I've had friends of mine that made
woodworking. I made a chopboard.
I remember that chopboard.
Lasted a lifetime. Because I didn't want them to smoke, so I didn't make the ashtray. Wasn't trying to feed in.
You know, do what you want to do. However, they don't have the ashtray anymore.
The chopboard lasted a while.
Yeah, there you go. That and the Mexican knife.
Shout out to the Mexican knife.
That's the only blade I've ever seen wither over time. The thing went from like a really nice normal blade to like a Bowie knife. Like over time, the bend in that thing. Man, it's crazy. But Josh, have you ever potted anything?
Yes, I have gone to a pottery class. We made our own bowls, and then we actually got to paint them after they settled, after they heated them, everything. We painted them up. Then, and it's weird because, like, the certain paint that they give you to paint these,
Is it acrylic?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So it'll show up a certain way as you're painting it on,
and then it's a different color.
It's completely. It's so weird.
You've seen the Asian TikTok where they do the cup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so nice because it looks good as you're painting it, but then once they cook it and it sets, and then you're just oh dang, this looks even better now. I didn't think that it was gonna turn out this way. So I thought that was really cool. I did have some, how you said, nice date nights. Doing pottery, which I thought was really cool.
I mean, if it's any consolation, you do not look better cooked. This heavy tan you got going is not the look, bro. You got to hide from the sun a little bit.
But the striations, though?
Get you some SPF 90.
That's right.
Damn. Got him. Oh.
Again, for those that are audio only, which is everyone, they just had a total bro moment where appearance was definitely in question.
I look like a burnt chicken nugget is what he's trying to say.
He's a extra spicy chicken nugget, 100%. Now, funny enough, the next hobby on the list is woodworking because we all took wood shop at some point.
Right.
Some better than others. But I tell you what, we've all made a pen.
Sure.
So learn how to build furniture, tools, and more with woodworking classes. Woodworking is a great creative outlet and is an extremely practical skill to know and can help you outfit your home with functional objects after creating some DIY projects. After learning how to work with wood, you can fix all those pesky chipped cupboards around the house. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I feel like now that I'm an adult, looking back, high school tried to set me up to have hobbies, and I just ignored all of them. And I was like, I play sports. I do ROTC. These were the classes I paid attention to. But I took art. I took woodworking. I never took a pottery class in my life. Never took a cooking class. I probably should have. I missed out. That could have been the difference maker in my whole life. Just butterfly effect stuff. But yeah, also took metal shot, which is, woodworking adjacent. Yeah,
How many electives did you have, bro? Did you have like normal classes?
Bro, my senior year, I had half a schedule in an office. It was great.
Wow.
I would show up to school, hop in my office, I had the projector, we were playing Halo. It was, dude.
When did they take metal work out and wood shop?
When they take it out?
Yes.
I had those.
I didn't.
No. Oh, well, you grew up in a different area, bud. Sorry. Josh came up in a lesser privileged, it was all, you're either going to the military or you're going to the refineries. There's no in between. And Josh did both.
Dang. Well, sucks to suck, I guess.
Look, you know, in certain countries, they build child soldiers. And in your case, you either go to
the slaves.
Yeah. The refinery or the military. No difference.
So for me, because I'm the
outlier,
senior of the group.
Citizen, yes.
Mine and Mike's dad were absolutely, was a carpenter. So for me, wood shop was 100% a big important thing. Definitely wanted to know how to do all the things, build, as much as I could in there. Really a passion for it. I don't know about anybody else, but if you're in Home Depot and you don't go to the lumber section to smell fresh lumber, yeah, you're just not doing it right. And for me, woodworking kind of initiated that. Definitely super dope. I wish I would have took a welding class or a metalwork class because welding is such a key skill. But to be able to, be good with a saw, be good, in that aspect, I think it's really important. I really hope that, my boys get to experience that because It'll Mike said, it'll set you up for life. And I wish that I had the woodworking gene to want a hobby do that. It's not necessarily a hobby that I want to have, but I can definitely understand why people do it.
Yeah. And I mean, just to piggyback off of, Thomas there, sometimes when I'm over there smelling the fresh cut lumber, I also pick up a 2x4 and kind of snipe out the curve to see if it's a good 2x4. That's a skill I learned from my dad, was how to people warp 2x4 because you don't want to take any of those to the job site. You want to get only the straight ones.
Yeah, the good ones.
And 9 times out of 10, they're all bad.
They're all bad. The whole truck, 20% of those 2x4s are good. Another 20% are okay. And the other, 60 are bad.
They only look straight because they're under pressure.
Pretty much. But it all looks good on the truck.
One of the things I do from people back in the day is that all those craftsmen, they learned all that from hands-on experience, which I love. Your dad, we have Hoso, we have Kali. Whenever they were building our house, for an example, right?
I remember that. I was there.
Yeah. And it was just they just knew this off of knowledge, you know? They were like, oh, measure, cut. They set it up, and I'm like, what? And just knowledge that they learned. And I love that. I love that that these people, like, you know, back then, all they did was just like, hey, this is a craft that they learned, that they loved, and they put it, you know, into work, which I love so much. I did a little bit of woodwork. I made, like,
you know, I heard about it.
Thank you. Outing me like that. But no, I would do, like, you know, some little, like, stuff here for, like, you know, girlfriends and whatnot, you know, back in the day. Some little, like, wood masterpieces.
I did try. That's high praise.
I did try to make a bench for my grandma.
Tried.
Everything was crooked. So apparently having a level
is very important.
It's very important.
You know how else you can subjugate like a level or whatever, or substitute a level? Is get you a nice ice cold beer and just sit it on top and watch the line. Like, that's a level if you don't have one. Just pour yourself a beer, dog. Like, I thought you of all people would know that.
I'm sorry. I was like,
he doesn't pour the beers, he chugs them.
The problem
is, there's no fluid in the glass to measure with.
Yeah.
Because he's looking for another one.
After you drink for a little bit, the line kind of goes off a little bit.
Yeah.
I definitely saw that TikTok where the guy's building the wall and he throws the beer on top and it slowly gets a little worse and worse.
Nice.
But I definitely took every elective they allowed me to. I took computer classes. I took writing classes. I took everything just because they would let me. I passed a lot of my normal classes and it went really well. And then I would just take all the electives, except for apparently the ones that would have helped me the most, like cooking, because I am awful at that. However, I remember in like metal shop, we built like a trailer from scratch, like just straight like bar steel, like built every, you know, attachment to put like an axle on. You get like a junkyard axle. You've got yourself a trailer, easy peasy. But then you got to go through like the adult side of it where you get that trailer licensed and like tagged and like it has to be registered.
Oh, so, dang, really?
Yeah, there's all kinds of things that you have to do with a trailer. You can't just throw one out there. You'll get pulled over for it.
I did not know that.
Well, you never took metal shop.
No.
you took intro to refinery. That was your cooking. Senior level class.
I took
class.
Cooking is what I took.
Yeah, you took cooking to hang out with women. Yeah, we all know.
To be fair.
So, yeah, other hobbies moving down the line of, you know, what I would.
Onwards and upwards.
Onward and upwards, yes, of course. Now, this is the part where I'm going to kind of give you a bit more free rein on, like, Josh, what would you consider a hobby or a passion or something you do that isn't work, it isn't the gym, it isn't required by anybody but you, right? We've already kind of agreed that we are gamers together. I know you said cooking, which totally counts, right, for you, because you did make the lamb chops. We're not talking about the ground beef, just the lamb chops. Those are really good. Sometimes you actually give it the right amount of effort, and I appreciate that. Maybe hang out with Tanya. Tanya does a really good job, like, cooking dishes that are palatable, you know? Mm-hmm. Not for bulking, but for, like, the soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, he will be starving. I really hope someone can help him out.
For $2, just $2, for any listeners,
sponsor a young-ish Mexican.
An angel. Yeah, no, 100%. Feel free. Shoot me the Cash App for my Uber Eats app, because I'm definitely a premium member. My mom said...
Platinum, diamond, crystal, gold.
Oh, 100%, dude. They give me money back all the time. My mom said, you can't just eat out all the time. So I just went out and made more money until I could. I was like, yeah, actually, it works now. Mm-hmm. So
speaking about hobbies and stuff, so something that I do want to get into, because I find myself doing this a lot, not only whether it be... you know, in person or virtual. And the reason I say virtual is because I love collecting things, right? If I'm playing a video game, I want to collect every little, if it's a gacha game or whatever, I want to collect every single character.
So they get
Sounds
you.
Expensive.
They get you every time.
You got God.
And so in real life as well, like if it's, you know, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic the Gathering, whatever, I want to collect the cards. So that's something more that I'm going to start getting into. From my previous job, there's a guy that I know that, his buddy owns a shop. He's like, oh, yeah, hey, stop by. Just mention my name. We'll give you a discount and word on. And so, yeah, I just want to start, like, you know, start collecting these cards, getting them graded. That's something that I've been wanting to do. I find it interesting just because I have it. It's, you know, a physical copy or whatnot. I get to post it up or I get to sell it, you know, at the end of the day, make some money on it.
You know who you got to get up with is Thomas's buddy. who is sponsoring the building. And because he flips everything, right? He buys and flips, and flips. And that's kind of a hobby in itself, right? Like, you can see it as like scalpers or whatever.
But it's
people
awesome.
that are, you know, willing to put in the work and the time. Like, I was actually staying in the guest bedroom. He's got a bunch of shoes in there. Mm. And one of the pairs is the Jaritos Dunks. Oh, he actually has a lot of crazy shoes in there.
So
like,
nice.
If you see it, there's a lot of dope shoes in there.
So nice.
But
I
think that's
those.
Awesome. I think that, like, and I learned this kind of from, like, Rocket League, like, back when they had tradable items.
Yeah.
And, like, those you could sell for real money in the real world. And I would make it my life's goal to turn a lot of really dumb little free items that I could get from people or like from the game, and I'd flip them into bigger things, and I would put those bigger things together and kind of do a trade up that they do now in the game. But it was like I did all the work myself, and I would sometimes come up, sometimes I'd have to lose a little bit to get a more expensive item. Like, I'd overpay a little bit, but it was kind of like the give and take of the game, and that can be super addictive. Like, you see kind of guys on like YouTube or like even like the History Channel at this point where they do like Storage Wars, where it's like you're bidding on these auctions and you're trying to get like your eye on things. You're like, oh my god, there's like a bunch of shoes and expensive bags, like you paid $500 for it, you may make $20,000 off that unit, but like you could also pay $1,000 for that unit and make $200. Like, I think a part of that is like exhilarating. It's the thrill of the hunt. It's, does my work perceive me? Like, I've got the golden eye, I can see things.
But it is addictive though.
It is.
I can say, like, you know, in a lot of these gacha games, like, you'd start just with like, oh, hey, like, yeah, $10 won't hurt. I spent 10. Why not?
Famous last word.
Yeah, I spent 10. Well, you know what? 20's not bad.
Right.
50's not bad. And at the end, I'm 1,000 deep. And I
actually, in some of those situations, like, if you spend $100, they'll give you 20 back. Right.
Not in this one.
No.
No, I was 1,000 deep and I finally got what I wanted. Was I happy? No.
So a creative outlet for me that's kind of unorthodox in a sense, but it's something that I picked up. I did the research. I know it well, is PC building.
Yeah.
And I've kind of given that same information to people that I know. Anybody that wants to get into PC gaming, I'm the guy. If you want research on parts, research on builds, like what makes sense, price to performance, like, is this really, like, you could be Josh and spend $2,000 on a graphics card, or you could be Thomas and spend $400 on a graphics card, and the difference is 15%, right? But it takes time to understand that. There's generations of cards, there's the NVIDIAs, there's the Radeons, there's all the little things. And I feel like that kind of speaks generally to everything, right? Like, if you put the time in, you become the expert of something, or at least the best person in your friend group. It's a skill in itself, and you could argue that it's a hobby. Like, the whole reason I started doing podcasting in the first place is because I had ample free time, and I like to read, and I like to hear the sound of my own voice. But I love to put together, like, the plot, right? Like, we start in, we have a plan, we go up, we come down, we go back up to finish. Like, seeing the finished product in itself is, like, the same as, like, pottery, or even the same as, like, art.
Art.
Like, yeah, it's an expressive hobby where it's, like, I can really show my talents here. Like, Thomas, for instance, his biggest hobby, there's no argument, I won't hear it, is sports. Sports, media, all of that. You can call it a job, you call it whatever you want, but the man puts in the work. He is the leading expert. If there's anything I want to know about sports, I will talk to him. If I'm curious about what's going on in sports, and we do this at the beginning of every episode, I talk to him. He's got so much knowledge about the game. Actually, there's another hobby that I was going to talk about that I actually forgot about until just now, like trivia nights. I know a lot of people go out to bars Tuesdays, Thursdays, trivia nights. Thomas is your guy for sports trivia. I would almost issue a challenge to anybody in the world who wants to go toe-to-toe for sports trivia. It would be interesting to see for me, but also I can't, you know, take him out to trivia night myself because I'm in Kansas. But we're planning a trip, and I need to find a trivia night just to see him flex his muscle there.
I mean, to be fair, people in the comments, if you guys have a tough question for Thomas, please leave
stump
it down
the chavi.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing, right? Like, I'll start coming up with random sports questions that I'm going to ask him live. And it's like, yo, no chance to look it up. We're live right now. Run it.
Real quick, speaking of the PC building game, this rig that is recording this in real time, high speed, is brought to you by Mike. Totally. He set me up with the intro PC. We talked it over the phone. Then we gutted the Joker, switched out all the components inside and out, to now bring you something that is crisp, clear, and definitely high speed. I definitely couldn't have done this before getting with him. If you're looking to build a PC, that's the dude you need to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Quick question, Thomas, when's the last time you played on your Xbox?
What Xbox?
Exactly. This man was tried and true. We've talked about it in previous podcasts. I know you've heard it, that he is an Xbox guy, console guy. But I told him, get you a PC, and he got a PC. However, he still played on his Xbox. Now, the difference is, because I went through the same thing, was you have to reach a certain level of PC to, like, really appreciate it for what it is. Like, your entry-level PCs are going to be fun, but you're going to have to bargain with your frames. You're going to have to bargain with your quality and video. Like, once you reach a certain level, that price-to-performance really clicks, and it's like there's no better option, right? Because I can game, I can watch anime, I can game, I can watch movies with my friends. Like, there's a lot of options. I can go from playing something on the Xbox Game Pass to playing something on Steam to playing something on the Epic Store, and it's all in the same rig, and I think it's beautiful. But we actually just had Thomas make another purchase for his PC. He's got a 2 terabyte NVMe M.2 coming in tomorrow. Super excited that going. Yeah, that's going to be huge for him, dude. He's living on SSD nonsense right now.
Really?
Yeah, the peasant. Oh, you know, wow. He had to up.
We had other moves to make. It was like money had to be spent elsewhere.
He did.
Wasn't going to skimp on the graphics card. Wasn't going to skip on the motherboard. We had to make sure
the
power supply. Had to make sure all of that stuff was jiving. Now it's time. We've maxed out what we have. We got to go up, and it'll be in tomorrow. We'll throw it in there.
I love that. I do have a question for Thomas.
Let's do it.
Oh. Thomas, which team made the biggest playoff comeback in NFL history by defeating the Houston Oilers in 1993?
I don't even want to talk about that because I watched the game, heartbroken. Buffalo Bills, Frank Wright.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. See, and that's live. That's absolutely live.
My whole soul, Warren Moon, and the run and shoot Houston Oilers were doing big things. It was going to be epic. Funny enough, that was going to be, and it all worked out. It was going to be Houston Oilers, Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl, and we did not get it.
And
I mean, things would go into motion later on in life, and then we'd lose the Oilers and gain the Texans, but I think that game would have went a long way to maybe keeping the Oilers and not having to fight the Tennessee Titans for the colors. Hurt my heart.
Yeah, no, so you guys got to witness that live. I will appreciate Josh for going Houston sports because that is the man's specialty. But yeah, no, we did not miss a beat. Thomas answered that immediately. Kudos to Thomas. Josh, I'm going to ask you a sports question.
Good luck.
in the 1917 Olympics, who won the figure skating gold? Which country? I don't need to know the figure skater. Feel free to tell me.
Sweden.
Sweden? Wrong.
What was it?
To be fair, I don't know. Exactly. I didn't look it up, but I just wanted to give Josh a hard time.
I was like, wow, you knew the answer to that? I'm over here going, Mother Russia?
It was probably China. What did I say? 1917? Yeah, no.
Was there Olympics in 1917?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Is that even a year that would happen? Is that like?
I don't know.
I mean, I think they're always on evens, maybe.
1970. Well, what era was that?
Cold War? But
yeah, no. I don't even know the first Olympics. I'm not the guy. Yeah, couldn't tell you by year either. It shows me countries, but it doesn't show me like historical winners, right? Like first Olympics, when was that even?
So, I mean, I guess so. I'll take the win on that. Thank you.
No, that's not a win.
I'll take the win by default.
By default.
Error, dub.
Actually, 1936 was the first Olympics to be televised, and it was in Berlin.
Trick question. It wasn't even a
thing. It wasn't televised. It was probably a thing. It just wasn't televised.
Right.
Definitely didn't have ice skating.
Right.
They had, like, I don't know, executions at that time. They were still executing people.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
makes
like sense. Who's got the best public execution?
Yeah, I think what, like the French still had it until like the 1980s or something.
Yeah, no, the Dark Marbles. Have you seen that on the History Channel?
No.
Yeah, no, it's a whole thing where they talk about like machines of death. They go with like the electric chair, the guillotine,
those are nice,
all that
yeah.
stuff. And they talk about like the, you know, the bloopers, like when they didn't die the first time. It's actually super cool. I enjoyed it.
Well, I thought if they didn't the first time, I thought they were good to go.
No, not then. There was testing trials. They ran it.
Okay.
They were like, if it didn't work, they said, we need more. And they were like testing phase, you know, trial phase, like the alpha, beta, you know how it is.
Yeah.
So, but no, any other hobbies? Why is he sending me, work emails. Any other hobbies from you guys that you can think of that you do that are creative outlets?
I mean, I love video games. Love playing those any chance that I get. I love watching movies, watching animes. You know, that's a good pastime. But I do want to get into more things. I do want to create my own garden at some time. I know we were talking about planting stuff and whatnot.
Well, we live in an apartment, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So anytime soon. Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I mean, in the future, looking into the future.
You could join a community garden.
If you find a good community. Well.
Actually, no. So there's the Sarco Park down the street, mm-hmm. right? You hit Quivira, make a left. You hit 87, make a right.
Yeah, just give everybody our address. So you're
hey, come find me. All the way down on the left, there's Sarco Park. They have a community garden. Everybody kind of shows up, helps out, takes stuff, leaves stuff, whatever. Yeah, so I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I could just take and then.
Yeah, whoa. None of that.
Yeah, you're there first.
Funny enough, I don't think anybody would think this because you haven't said it yet and I'm giving you all the opportunity, but drinking bourbon and whiskey and exploring the finer things like what the barrel is, what the notes are. I feel like that's a hobby in itself, right? Like we all spend a decent amount of money on the bottles that we look for. Thomas, just for his birthday, got a smoking kit or something for whiskey drinks. Josh has one back in Kansas. Like, I think that that's a hobby in itself. I mean, it's probably not the healthiest hobby, but I still think that cigars, like there's a certain cultural, classy kind of, I look into it. I want to understand it.
So it's not an addiction.
No. It's just, it's a hobby.
Oh, you heard, yeah.
Right? Hobby, it's a creative hobby.
You're already here first, guys.
Yeah, creative hobby. Ladies. It's one of those deals where, if you put the time in, you understand the intricacies of, the leaves and the tobaccos and where they came from. It makes it seem, a lot less worse than it is.
Mm. No, I mean, to be fair, yes. There is a lot more going into these drinks. There is, the nose on it, how you finish it. And some bourbons are better than others where some might taste good coming in. And then at the end, they're I don't like how it leaves that bitter taste in my mouth. And some is the opposite, right? It's not so good at the beginning, but it's great at the end. And then you find that perfect balance where it's just bliss throughout the whole drink that you're having, which is nice. And I know with a lot of people who drink, the connoisseurs out there, they like to keep that, ABV, at a good 40%, right? So anything above that, they usually dilute it, to bring it down. Yeah. So, they can actually really enjoy and taste all those flavors of that bourbon, of that whiskey.
So I actually went to this restaurant or pub down in Parkville, Missouri. It's about a half hour away from us. It's called The Creek. And there's two of them. There's one in Dublin, Ireland, and the other one is in Parkville, Missouri, obviously.
Right.
And the dude at the bar, I was like, yo, show me a Irish whiskey that I haven't had before. And he walks me through a couple, and I was like, Sons of Erin. What's the other big popular one? Something Heart or Sons. Sons of
Anarchy?
No.
That's exactly what I was
thinking. No, it's a motorcycle thing. It's like Sons of Erin, and there's another Irish one that's really popular. I'll think of it later. Don't worry about it. But he offers me a 12-year Redbreast, which is an Irish whiskey. He's like, all right, so what you're going to do is put this on ice, let sit for 7 to 10 minutes. And once you let it sit for 7 to 10 minutes, you're going to taste it, you're going to let it fill your mouth, and then swish around a bit and swallow. And the next sip, that's when you should start tasting it. Like, the dude, walked me through, how to drink this bottle. That's so awesome. That guy's got years and years of experience of, testing, trial and error. This is how you drink these bottles. And to be able to pass that on, it's kind of the whole guy who, fixes the boat and he charges $200,000.
Yeah.
And it's only, a $1,500 fix, but they're like, well, I knew where to hit the hammer. That kind of deal, right? You're learning
the experience.
And the guy tells you in 5 seconds how to taste his bottle, where if you try to figure it out on your own, it may take you so much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the guy I'm trying to be at the bar, is do this, 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 and this, and that's a perfect drink right there. I'll be honest with the whole world right now. I just learned yesterday what's in a margarita. I couldn't have told you off the top of my head what was in a margarita until yesterday. Josh, yeah. Pop quiz, do you know the items in a margarita that make it a margarita? There's no wrong answer. Well, there's a wrong answer, but it's okay if you're wrong. It's okay if you're wrong.
Tequila.
Yes. Step one, tequila. You need that.
Okay.
There's two more main ingredients.
Lime.
Yes.
Ice.
Wrong.
Not wrong.
One more guess. Nope. One more guess.
It could have.
Ice is neither here nor there. You can drink a hot margarita.
Lime.
Ice is a, you said lime. Yeah. Ice is a give lime. Me. You can't keep saying lime.
I said tequila, lime. I'm backtracking here.
I'm aware. There's one item. You get one more guess.
Juice?
Mm. Are you referring to lime juice?
No, just...
Wrong. Juice. No. What juice would you be... No, that's my question. What juice are you referring to? What juice? Jugo de qué? You know? Because I know the answer. I've studied now. Nope, don't hint him.
I don't know.
He's giving you a hint. Don't listen to him.
I don't know.
You get three guesses, Josh. Three. Sorry, crowd. It's triple sec. Three was the hint.
Triple sec?
Yes. Triple sec, lime juice, tequila is a margarita. Everything else is extra.
When was triple sec introduced to a margarita?
Every single time, actually. Yeah, every single time.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is news to me.
I don't think he drinks a lot of margaritas or makes a lot of margaritas. But yes, triple sec is a key ingredient. Lime juice is a key ingredient and obviously tequila. Me and Thomas kind of learned that yesterday looking at Tres Generations bottle. It was like pre-made. Is it called On the Rocks?
Yes.
And that's super good. I totally support that. Oh, you're just going neat over there, huh? Just a little bit.
And real quick, what I think the guys are trying to say about the hobby in general is connoisseurs of anything, food, whiskey,
women,
cigars, women, all of these things.
You know a lot about that.
Are going to help you, you know, to better understand the genre. You know, I mean, you can be a movie connoisseur, you know, where it's like, look, I like rom-coms or I like comic book movies and I can give you a feel on what you should watch or what's going to be good for you based on my experiences.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's a hobby in itself. And if you're able to make somebody's job or make somebody's fun easier by being able to break down, hey, this bourbon is this, you should try that. If you like this, or hey, if you like these movies, you should watch this. Or if you are a food guy, you should cook this. Or maybe you haven't tried this sauce. Like, all of those things are out there to, A, you know, paint a picture for somebody, and B, to create, you know, a lane for people to be in. And I think that's very important. You know, I definitely lean on my connoisseurs, whether it's video gaming or cooking or women or whatever.
So I do have a question for y'all, though. So I know
seven.
Okay. Inches? Nice. Good to know. But besides that, ladies and gentlemen, what is y'all's go-to drink? Since we were just talking about alcohol, and I know that, you know, a lot of people like to experience a good drink, what is y'all's go-to drink?
I'll start off. Yesterday, I met Thomas at this really fun place called Andretti's. It's like a go-kart, VR, laser tag, arcade, like full bar, all these options. Like, it's super fun place. If you have time and money, go there. It is not cheap. But it's a good time. I think I had a blast. First thing I had, I was like, you know, how do I, like, start the vibe? How do I, like, walk in? Like, well, it's my first thing, right? And this is really like a classic move for me. This is classic Mikey. Red Bull vodka. Thomas picked the flavor. We went with coconut berries. But Red Bull vodka is like a great way to start. Like, that's, it may not be my go-to like throughout the night. Like, I may go to, like, what do we go to? Dos Equis? Like, just because when you're out and drinking, you don't want to drink liquor. You want to drink beer. Beer is cheaper. Mm-hmm. But like that first drink to kind of set the palate, like get you going, I went Red Bull vodka. We obviously went with Tito's over their house vodka. Which I don't even remember what it was. He offered me something. It was not Tito's. He's like, well, our house, it's like probably McCormick or something like that, some low shelf nonsense. We always go Tito's because we're from Texas. But sure. Thomas, you walk up to a bar beginning of the night. I don't judge people in the middle of the night. We act up in the middle of the night. First drink is always the true test of character. Like, I need to set myself up for success.
So it's really interesting. It definitely depends on the crowd that I'm with. You know, I'm not going to be the liquor drinker if I'm out with a bunch of beer drinkers, you know what I mean? And then obviously your beer drinkers have a different, you know, mood. You have the guys that drink the fit beers, the low-cal beers. You have the guys that drink the craft beers. You have the guys that are going to drink the beers that are exotic from different locations.
Pool beers.
You know, You might see somebody order a Stella Artois or a Guinness, and it's like, whoa, okay, I need to change
Artois.
Yeah. Let's be clear. So for me, my military background has taught me to be very, very chameleon with it. You play to the crowd that you're in. I've been fortunate, privileged enough to be around a lot of different people, a lot of different places, traveled all over the world a couple different times. So it's one of those things like, what are my people doing? Are my people drinking beer? Are my people drinking liquor? What kind of liquor are they drinking? You know, when you're hanging out with your Puerto Ricans, you're drinking rum. When you're hanging out with your brethren, you might be drinking Crown. When you're hanging out with your boys, you might be drinking tequila. You know, so for me, it's a really tough question. If I'm walking to the bar by myself,
and me and Josh were with you, like we're like, hey, bro, what do you want? Right? Me and Josh are the audience.
If I am with Josh and Mike, and we're rolling up to a bar, and it's just the three of us.
Bear fight.
You know what I'm ordering? Because I know my guys and I know my crowd. It's a bullet on the rocks, and we're taking it and going with it.
That's a great answer.
And that's my people. I know
He's
what
like,
they drink.
That's my hobby. I read people's alcoholic tendencies.
We're going to the bullet single barrel because it's probably a step up from the regular bullet, and that's what we're doing. Now, if I'm with my military people, I got my boys that drink Crown. I got my boys that drink Don Q. I got my boys that drink Johnny Walker with a little bit of Sprite. You know, you have to be okay with being
adapting.
Thank you so much. You have to be able to adapt with your people. You know what I won't do? You know what I won't do?
A bear fight?
You know what I won't do? When we go back to the crib and we're chilling with mom and dad and they're drinking a Miller Lite.
Natty Light.
Or a Natty Light. I'm bringing my own beer, bro. Yeah.
So, okay.
Bring my own beer.
So, back in my day, like, sometimes we would just choose to, like, control, alt, delete the night, and you'd have a bear fight. Do either of you gentlemen know what a bear fight is?
I can't say that I do.
It is an Irish car bomb.
Okay.
Followed by a Jaeger bomb.
Sounds horrible. Followed by a Vegas bomb.
No. It's just the two. So you take the Irish car bomb, and you want to get the, what was the second bomb I just said?
Jaeger bomb
to hit before the Irish car bomb starts to curdle in your stomach. Like, oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, do not try this at
all. No. It's cool. Every time is a fun
There's
time.
There's no reason to do that. This is trying to get to the end too fast.
Where are my gamers at? This is an Alt F4. a bear fight will get the party going, I promise you. It's like the equivalent of, like, if you've seen the guys on TikTok who, like, have, like, an energy drink with, like, the Crown bottle, and they're going to shotgun the two things. It's a whole problem. Like, a bear fight will put you in whatever mood you're trying to be in really, really, really fast.
I mean, have y'all had a Four Horsemen shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy money. Have you had an AMF?
Yes, those are great. I love them. So in Austin, they make Austin, Texas. Yes, yeah, thank you.
Where else are you going in Austin?
And no,
no. There's multiple streets.
Yeah, there
is. Josh, hold on.
Be clear.
There is. So you have 6th Street. You also have 8th Street
exactly.
as well.
Exactly.
But you go to 6th.
Huh?
Everybody goes to 6th.
That is the main place.
No, but everybody... Where... That's like saying the Vegas Strip versus like that weird Freedom corner yeah. massage
place. But you also have the East Side that also has a great place to go to. Anyways, off track. But... An AMF in Austin. Yes, great. So there's certain bars where they will only give you two pitchers per two people, right? A lot of people do abuse this, and two people will go order it. One person comes out with it. So I was that person.
You're an alcohol.
Imagine that.
Well, no. So I got the two for me, right? Because I knew that that's what I wanted, and I'd be okay with it. Mm-hmm. But friends came up, and they're all like, "Hey, I can't finish mine. Can you finish mine for me?"
And of course, you're a gentleman. You did.
Well, it tasted so good.
It tasted so good.
It tastes.
Do not be that guy.
No. Okay. What was it? Do you remember?
An AMF.
Oh, a picture of AMF.
That's how we got there. It's normally a shot.
I don't know how you're getting pitchers. That sounds awful.
So I'm talking to AMF as a drink.
Yeah, a little drink.
I'm talking about AMF as a shot.
Adios, motherfucker, as a shot, dude. Oh, yeah. You can maybe make it a drink, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to it as a full drink. And then
a lit. As a pitcher. A lit goes hard.
Hold on. To be clear, real quick, for me, if you're on Sixth Street, there is a bar. I'm struggling with the name because we're pretty deep into this bottle right now.
We're doing nice.
There is a Captain America shot that's made with Sprite, and it's red, white, and blue on 6th Street. Do that if you get the chance.
That sounds fire.
Red, white, blue Captain America shot.
I love that.
I want to say it's O'Brien something, maybe Pat O'Brien's. Do that. If you're ever on 6th Street, do it. You won't regret it. So good. Talk about start your night off right.
Yeah, me, I'm like, I won't lie. I'll go to a bar. I have my usual suspects, and then I'll ask the bartender, like, what do you like to make? Like, what's something that, like, gets you going when you make it? Like, this is about to be exciting. Like, that's the wild card. That's the ace, the joker, whatever you want to call it. Like, I will absolutely ask the bartender what they enjoy making, like, something that they haven't made in a while. Or, like, what's your go-to?
Their go-to is always the easiest thing they can make.
Not always. Some people actually, especially earlier in the night, they're, like, more interested in making drinks.
Fair enough.
Like, I get after, like, 6 or 7 hours of making drinks. You're, like, not interested. Yeah. But, like, some people, like, just enjoy their craft, which actually, when I was looking up hobbies, like, cocktail bartending, like making drinks as a thing is technically a hobby.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you go like really hard into it. But that's my thing. I always ask like, what do you recommend? Like, I'll give you a couple factors in my life and then you just tell me what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Long Island iced tea is always a great option. For me, I just think it's so good.
I mean, like,
it's tasty. That's another Pablo drink, though, too.
There's, like, so many because, like, you know, we'll often get, like, Captain Coke.
Captain Dr. Pepper's.
Yeah, Captain Dr. Pepper, that's
right. Oh, dude.
Captain Dr.
Coke, Pepper. You can still kind of taste the liquor. Dr. Pepper, yeah. It's gone.
You got Dark and Stormy's.
Ooh, the ginger beers.
Yeah, I love the ranch waters, you know, for tequila, for our tequila enthusiasts out there. They're always great. Those AMS. As a drink, I don't know if you've had them before, but they are fantastic.
Fantastic.
Green tea shots, Scooby snack shots.
Scooby snacks. Oh, those are my
Washington
favorite.
Washington apple.
Never Rumplemints. Never Rumplemints. There may be people that are out there listening thinking Rumplemints are my go-to. That's awful. That's mouthwash and you know it.
The Mexican candy, those.
Mexican candies are really good. I agree. Really good, yeah. You got to be in the right spot or else they can't make them. Like,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I try and keep...
Buttery nipple.
Ooh. Three wise men.
A butter beer. My God, I love this. Are they terrible for you? Yes.
Thomas is quoting the song, shots.
Yeah, the fucking...
Kamikaze.
Everybody.
Oh, Kamikaze. Yeah. Yes, those are good.
Pour me some gin.
I completely forgot about those. Those are really good. Yeah.
For people that don't like Jaeger, I'm a Vegas bomb guy. It's a Vegas bomb guy. It's made with Crown.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great alternative
to Jaeger bomb.
I mean, and to be fair, Jaeger was used in the past as a medicinal remedy.
Yeah. No, not that it worked, but it was used. However, now my favorite Jaeger drink will always be the same. Anybody want to guess what it is? The two ingredients. One of them is Jaeger. What's the other one?
A bear fight?
No, that's four drinks. That's two drinks, four ingredients. The one thing that I would mix with Jägermeister over everything else.
It's got to be Red Bull.
Wrong. Josh?
Monster?
Yes. Green Monster and Jäger go together so well. I don't know why. So, like, back when I was in the military and I was hanging out with Martinez recreationally, we were outside of...
Recreationally?
Yeah. We were outside of this hotel, and, like, we crushed so many, like... whatever, Jaeger and Monsters, that I was, like, outside freestyling, because that was cool back then.
Right.
Like, hip-hop freestyling, and I was absolutely smashed. But I had such a good time. I don't even remember the lady that was in that hotel room. 0%. But all I know is that she had all the alcohol. It was a great time.
I bet.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I mean, yeah.
No, you keep your... What the fuck? yeah, so fun stories from the military. We all have them. But yeah.
We're off the rails at this point, people. Hobbies have turned into our drinking hobbies.
Yeah, 105 proof over here is what the bottle is. And I feel like we're quickly getting there with it.
I did not know that it was 105 proof until
it
said that.
It doesn't taste like it is.
It really doesn't taste like that. for people that need to get your hands on Trail's End, I'm telling you, it's a phenomenal bottle.
It tastes really good.
It's so subtle, but the punch is real. Like, you get carried away with it because it doesn't taste as strong as it is. It's, like, sneaky that way.
But I do have to admit, though, like, so our first go-around was on ice. Having it neat, there is way more flavor on
it. You think so?
So, yeah, I just, you know,
poured it. He did just pour me some neat.
Yeah, like, there is way more flavor to it compared to, like, putting on ice. I don't know what it is, but usually I do prefer more so it being on ice, but having it by itself is, like, way better.
So, for the people at home, how I chose this bottle. I walked into my new and improved specs, obviously moved to a new location, was in Rosenberg, now in Katy, Texas. My specs got, you know, a little seasoned, looked like a little older gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he walked me through the gambit of different bourbons that I could get my hands on. And then he brought me to this Trail's End. And he was like, look, I can't keep this on the shelves. I bought two bottles for myself. It is a phenomenal drink. It is something that's kind of new player, but everybody loves it. It's got a great taste, great feel. And he's like, look, if you buy this bottle, you won't be disappointed. And that's how we're here. And so far, these gentlemen are backing up this claim. And
yeah.
I mean, I don't have to say anything. I'm definitely going back to find another bottle of this.
So I feel like we're going to do this live because me and Josh have kind of hit it neat, which for all of you rookies, neat is pour the bottle, no ice, straight. So I want you to take a sip of this neat. Like, take a good, like, nose of it and then, like, a modest sip. Like, I don't go crazy on neat drinks, right?
Yeah,
I'm not crushing. I take a good sip, let it fill my mouth, and then I swallow that.
So,
and, like, it's actually super good. I'm surprised.
So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to tell you my introduction to neat because I've got a great story.
Okay.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
It was not how I wanted to be introduced to drinking things neat. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I smell this, and it is definitely a great smell. We're talking about all the notes that these guys have been talking about. It's phenomenal.
The big word I use is, like, decadent, right? Like, that's got, like, layers to it.
I mean, it's sweet. It's nice. It's nice on the nose. It's light.
Yeah.
So, pull right now. Such a good flavor.
Like neat, though. Like, that's so good.
I'm not a big fan of neat. And for me, I feel like having it cold just gives a different element. Having it a little watered down gives it a little different element. Now, let me get into my story. First and foremost, this is fantastic. If you are looking for a drink, you heard the cheers. If you're looking for a drink, go buy a bottle of this. We're not in any way sponsored, but if they want to, we won't stop them.
Yep, no, for sure.
So good. Send another bottle. Funny story, back in my military days, young, dumb, and you know, full of whatever. as the saying
full
goes.
Full of aspiration.
As the saying goes. You know, had a supervisor. I was a hydraulic troop. You know, we have a motto, aircraft hydraulics, work hard, play hard. Mm. And that's how we did. Had a supervisor, bought a house, turned an entire room into a bar. Told everybody, come through, help me christen this bar. I'll ask you, bring a drink. It was phenomenal. Had the bar, had a TV over the top, chalkboard, you know.
Oh, I love
specials.
That.
He did great. Shout out Mark Anderson. Love you.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay. Shout out to him.
He did a great job. We drank great. I have a beer pong shot from that party on YouTube. It's legendary. Off somebody's face, into the cup. Fantastic.
Back when YouTube was first and second.
Back before YouTube was cool. Anyway, my then supervisor that I would fly with the very next day was at the party. Had an unfortunate, you know, releasing of the bowels, if you will, on his lady's car.
That's discreet.
You know, had a lot to drink that night. My man found me on the airplane. I was a flying crew chief. You know, we had to show up 6 hours prior to the aircraft leaving, get it ready, change tires, put oil, make sure airplane's good.
Of course.
He's like, I'm not mad at you, but you're going to drink with me. We're on our way to Scotland,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to drink what I want to drink, and you're going with me, and we're having whatever. You're with me the entire time. Drank scotch in Scotland, all the things from Scotland, not the important stuff, because here, here wouldn't be important. There, it's their thing. Meat.
Eesh.
And as somebody who never drank liquor like that, it's straight gasoline. But as you get more acclimated to it, you know, you feel like, okay, I understand it now.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Lethal Shooter.
Hey, shout out to Rangers FC, right?
Rangers FC.
Football club. That's the Alan Swan, the president of Panasonic, is a Rangers FC guy. Scotland.
Panasonic. Mike's our guy.
Shout out.
Plug him, dude.
Anyway, you know, you learn real quick, trial by fire, literally. This is the way they drink it over there. Mm. And then you just have to get acclimated to it. And now we drink stuff neat here. And it's a different feel.
Neat's a different animal. It's right? Spicy.
Yeah.
It's spicy.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not for everybody. It's not what I would recommend for people starting out.
All gas, no break.
When you get to that point, you have a different appreciation for your liquor.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, for me, like, when I go neat, it's very rare. But when I do, it's usually, like, when I'm smoking a stogie.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it hits perfect. Right? Like, you pair the right stogie with the right bourbon, and you go neat. Oh, that's just magic. Yeah, magic in the end.
And I'm surprised that this is this good. So, like, you know, we had an ice, how I said, and, like, yeah, it was great. Like, yes, I could sip on this all day. But neat, it really changes the flavor. I really, really like it. And I'm usually every drink that I'm having on ice. But this is very,
like, I wouldn't
very
go nice. Bullet neat. I'm being
honest. No,
bullet. Tell the people why you wouldn't.
Oh, so, okay, bullet, like, neat, it's just not as good as it is on ice, right? Yeah. Like, so when you rest certain bourbons, like, they release flavors. You get less of the barrel, less of the gas, more of, like, a smoother release. Now, this particular bottle, and I'm drinking it neat right now, it just, it every ounce of their flavor is in the bottle. Like, you don't need to release this. Like, when I was drinking it on ice, it was a little spicy for on the rocks. But, like, when you transition to, like, neat, it's, like, it's almost exquisite in itself. Like, you're getting the flavors that you asked for. The vanilla, the spices.
Yeah, like
the individual characteristics of a bottle,
nice.
Right?
And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't noticed in all of our shows, one of our favorite hobbies is sampling all these different liquors, sampling all these different bourbons, all these different whiskeys, and just seeing what these guys are trying to accomplish, what tastes good, what we love, what we don't love. You know, trying to put you on or tell you, hey, stay away. We haven't ran into any of those yet, right?
No, I don't think so.
Well, maybe that's what we need to do, right?
Find a bad bottle.
Maybe one of our next shows, we're like, look, this is the do not do list.
we'll talk to Austin, a good buddy of ours that lives with us in Kansas. He is a connoisseur of cheap bottles, and you're more likely to find garbage at the bottom. So Mellow Corn actually isn't all that bad, if I'm being honest. You're spending $20 on a bottle.
Corn whiskey? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
They say you get what you pay for.
Oh, you definitely do.
No, he is the king of finding bad bottles. Like, there's one, he's like, can you help me drink this? It's awful. Like, that's a screaming red flag from
100%.
Austin. So I'll get, you know, maybe next episode we'll do, like, the absolute misses, right? Like, I'll get these guys to do a terrible three. Like, this, I enjoyed this experience because we all drink the same bottle. You got a little bit from everybody, like, of what it is, what it tastes like, how it's going. I think this was super fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
The next episode, if we do, like, the not top 10, like,
I like that.
Worst bourbons, like, just bad.
Like, I like that.
Misses.
Yeah.
Like, holy airball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Next show, title it Holy Airball.
There you go. But yeah, unless the guy's got anything, that's it for me. I feel like we've gone over all the hobbies and somehow we always end up on whiskey or bourbon. So we got our work done here, boys.
No, yeah, I love that. Great episode.
We are true to our roots here at the Whiskey Sticks Podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. That'll be it from us, folks. Take it easy. And until next time.
Later.
Later.